This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones. Welcome to Marketing Voices. Today, I have a very special guest who's been on this show probably like three times, and his name's Guy Kawasaki, and he probably doesn't need an introduction, but for those of you that might not know him, he is an author, he's a humorist, he's a venture capitalist, and he just completed this book called Reality Check, which is the irreverent guide to outstanding, outrageous, and outmarketing your competition. That's sort of the subtitle of it. So welcome to Marketing Voices, Guy.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So we're going to be talking about his book. We're going to be talking about Twitter. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. But first about your book.
Yes.
So what is the most favorite chapter in your book?
Probably, I have a series of examinations of lies of certain professions. So the lies of entrepreneurs, the lies of lawyers, the lies of engineers, the lies of marketers, and the lies of VCs. So I've told a lot of lies and I've heard a lot of lies, so I've categorized it for, you know. So my goal there is, I don't believe that my book or my speaking or whatever can possibly foster truth in the world. But at least people will tell different lies, so it'll be less boring. That's my only goal. I have modest goals for that.
Oh yeah. So tell me some of the lies. Give me some idea of what the best lies are.
Well, many entrepreneurs tell the lie that we have a proven team. And they're far from proven. I would make the case that an unproven team is actually more interesting. That's a different discussion. So entrepreneurs say they have a proven team. They only need 1% of the market. That they have something that nobody else can do. That they have first mover advantage. That Sequoia and Kleiner are also very interested in investing in them. So you have to move quickly. So on the opposite side of the table, the venture capitalist is saying, I will always be there for you. I really have confidence in the management team. I think that, your biggest problem will be scaling. And I think, a VC will also say that our term sheet is pretty vanilla compared to most people, that I'm not on that many boards, so I have time for you, and I'll be happy to open my Rolodex for you. So those are the two sets of lies going on at any given moment. And I've told them, and I've been told them, Jennifer.
So what do they do about them? I mean, so as part of the reality check, it's like, okay, you've got all these things that you pose. What do people do about that? I mean, how do they deal with it?
As the liar or being lied to?
No, it's a being lied to.
Well, being lied to, I don't think you should take it as an insult, because very few people are intentionally insulting you. It's just part of the game. And if you think it's hard to get a VC to say yes to your deal, you should try to get one to say directly, no, we're not interested. There's really very little reason why a venture capitalist would ever tell you no, because what they want to do is always have the option, just in case Sequoia or Kleiner does invest in you, they want to be able to say, well, we told you we were interested if you found a lead investor. So now that now that John Doerr and Michael Moritz are on your board, what about us? We told you we were interested too. So, that's what goes on. And you just have to understand that that's how the game's played. Just as a venture capitalist has to understand that the entrepreneur is lying. Sometimes the entrepreneur doesn't even realize he or she is lying, but they are. And that's just part of the game.
What do you think is your best piece of advice that you gave in all of your blogs and in the whole book?
Well, probably the best piece of advice, well, there's two. At a tactical level, my 10-20-30 rule of pitching has helped many an entrepreneur, which is 10 slides, givable in 20 minutes using a 30-point font or more. And so that has changed a lot of presentations. It's made the world a better place, because there's less 60-slide presentations that are given in 90 minutes with an 8-point font, right? So I've made the world a better place. I truly do believe that.
No, that's true. I use that a lot too, yeah.
the second one that you know, the most important lesson is you should never ask people to do something that you yourself would not do. And you need to apply that all the time. Whether you're creating a registration system that asks you to decipher a CAPTCHA that, you know, no human being can possibly, I don't know about you, Jennifer, when I sign up for a new service and there's CAPTCHA, it probably takes me 4 or 5 attempts. You know, I can't figure out if that's a cap or not. I can't figure out if that's an L, a 1, or an I. You know, like literally, it takes 4 or 5 times. Like, what are these idiots thinking? Yeah. I mean, okay, maybe these bots would sign up and, you know, trash your system, but there has got to be a better way than making every human go through CAPTCHA. And then some of them, they not only make you go through the CAPTCHA 5 times, but every time they make you go through it, they clear off the data.
Right,
so you
right.
have to put in your first name, last name, CAPTCHA. Right. Oops, didn't go. First name, last name, CAPTCHA. I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's a very good test. Are you asking people to do something that you yourself would not do?
So where are you on Twitter today? And give me sort of the best.
Twitter.
Yeah,
let me tell you something.
So what do you love about Twitter?
I would pay $500 a month to be on Twitter, honestly.
So I'm sure they're listening and they're actually logging this
Well, I don't know if you realize this. I ran a poll on Twitter. You know, how much would you pay? And it's very interesting. So I said, and this was not supposed to be a scientific poll, right? But of course, some people complained that it wasn't. But the choices were $0. Yeah, I don't care if Twitter goes away. And there's $5 a month, $10 a month, and $20 a month. And roughly, I think about 2/3 of the people who responded, well, first it was about 50% of the people said, I won't pay, I don't care if it dies. And the other 50% said $5 or more, which I found astounding. Now, in a poll, when you say you'll pay $5, that's not the same as you actually open your checkbook and write it, right? But the fact that half the people who took the poll said they would pay $5 or more was astounding to me, because I thought that number would be about 5%, not 50%. All of this is to tell you that I think that I get more value out of Twitter than anybody in the world.
Yeah, I think
truly
you should do,
do believe
okay.
that.
So before we started this interview, you talked about sort of this whole strategy you have for a new product on Alltop. So talk through that. Okay.
So obviously I'm the co-founder of Alltop, and Alltop is this digital magazine rack. We aggregate news by topics. And one of the most astounding things I've discovered with Alltop is how much Twitter has made it possible. I don't know how we would do Alltop without Twitter, because on Twitter, from cradle to, well, no, hopefully not grave, but from the garage to heaven, Twitter helps Alltop. So it starts off with we announce a topic like, I don't know, adoption. So now we have all the adoption news feeds aggregated in one place. Someone will say, you know, you have adoption, but really what I'm interested in is homeschooling. So then we say, all right, so we should do homeschooling.alltop. And someone else will say, yeah, and I'm a homeschooling consultant, and I have the 100 best feeds about homeschooling. I'll just send you an OPML file. So now we got the idea for homeschooling, and then we got the feeds to do homeschooling. And then we have this announcement system through Twitter where 450 people, believe it or not, have decided that they would let me auto-tweet into their stream whatever announcement we make about Alltop. Okay, so people might not understand what this means. So in other words, 450 people have said, Guy, anything you want to say on my behalf is okay with me about Alltop. And we counted the number of followers those 450 people have, and it's a mere 100,000. So if you add that 100,000 to my 28,000, basically, I have the ability to spread the news about Alltop through Twitter through 128,000 people free and instantly.
That is so incredible.
How much better can it get than that?
Right.
Right.
So how many other people are there like you that use it that way, do you think?
Zero, because what it takes is, first of all, you have to have a chutzpah to do that. Right? You take some heat for it, because some people say, well, you know, Twitter is supposed to be this social network. You shouldn't be spamming me about Alltop. To which my response is, hey, this cannot be spam. It cannot be spam because people have volunteered to let me use their feed, and you have voluntarily followed those people. So what part is spam? It's both opt-in systems. It's not spam. You may not like it. Don't follow those people. And if enough people stop following those people who have done it for me, they will decide to stop doing it for me. Okay, I understand that. So you take some heat, and you know, we get about, just so you know the math, I get 5 or so angry tweets a day. How dare you have all these alt-op announcements in my feed, you know? I'm going to unfollow the people who have done this. I get 5 of those a day. And, you know, just so the listenership understands that, if I get 5 of those a day, but I'm announcing it to 128,000 people, the math is so good.
Right.
Who cares if 5 people are pissed off?
Right.
And
the problem is, too, that they probably might be pissed off anyway, no matter what. I mean, that's the thing.
If Mother Teresa was on Twitter and sending out tweets, 5 people a day would be pissed off about what she's doing, too, right? So, you know.
You and Obama. So it's, you know, the fact is that it's interesting. So I must say that I thought that he actually was using Twitter through his people similarly, and I have no idea the numbers or anything, but that's why
he's got 135,000 followers or something like that. If I could get him to auto-tweet all top man, holy cow. I should have donated like $1 million to this campaign or something. So Twitter has provided, you know, topics to do, the feeds to put in those topics, and then the way to promote those topics. So that's why I want Twitter to succeed.
Okay, so what about your next book? What's your next book?
What next book?
You got to write another book.
Who's, Jennifer, it takes like, there's such a thing as postpartum depression, you know, so it takes me about 2 years to recover after writing a book. I think the
And you've written 9 though.
I know,
so that's impossible. I guess you could be that old.
I started in 87, it's 21 years. I think my next book is going to be called The Elements of Guile, G-U-I-L-E, as a pun on the elements of style.
And guy, too.
I thought about that, but that's like too cute even for me. So The Elements of Guile, and it'll be how to use social influence to get your way.
Well, Guy, thank you. I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's been very fun. For all my listeners, if you have any thoughts, please join me at www.marketingvoices.com. And until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.